Thank you, Nick. Let's all stand together if you could. Take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah. Let's stand if we are able. We won't stand for long. Nehemiah chapter number 8. It's always nice to be home. We're on vacation for several weeks. Went to about, I think we went to like 4 different churches and good churches. We went to Courtney's home church in Washington on Sunday night. I guess they couldn't pay our electric bill, man. It was hot in there. The air conditioning wasn't on, and it was hot outside too. But it was great. We enjoyed it. But thank God for air conditioning. Nehemiah chapter 8. Read a few verses here. Turn to verse number 8. I don't know if I gave you the verse number. It says in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, it says, "So they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then said he unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry." Now here's the key. "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Of course, as they're reading the law to the people probably were seeing some of the areas where their lives didn't match up and some issues they had, and they started to cry, and they stand up and say, "Hey, listen, this is not a day for crying." By the way, even when the law makes you cry, it's to get you right so you can get to the joy part, okay? And he just reminds them, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Let me read quote a couple of verses to you, and then we'll sit down. Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Psalms 97, verse 12, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. We pray as we look today at a subject that we see that you want us to serve you with joy. The Christian life is to be a joyful life. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, as we go our way afterwards, that something that maybe you would want to touch in our lives, maybe there's an area of our lives we need to change so we can get to where you want us to be. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This, if you do happen to look at the church calendar you have, we're going into what we call Stewardship Month. There's just something about that name, stewardship. If you've been here a while, people are like, "Oh, here we go, stewardship." Okay? Because we have the wrong concept about what stewardship is. We think of stewardship, we do get the wrong idea. We think that it's only about money. Okay? Stewardship isn't just about money. When the word is used, typically in a church or even just in general, you know, people think of money, stewardship of your money. We think that, well, it doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you. And we think that it's not mentioned very much in the Bible. When you really understand what stewardship is, and we'll go over some things today, you understand that really the whole Bible is about stewardship. Oh, the whole Bible's about money? No, stewardship isn't about money. Stewardship is about your life. The whole Bible talks about your life. We misunderstand it. We misunderstand what the whole concept is. Stewardship is about how we view our life. Is my life mine only? Or is my life his? That's really what it's all about. Stewardship, it's about how you manage your life. How are you going to manage all the things that are in your life? Well, the options there are, we're going to manage it our way, the way we feel is best, or we're going to manage our life His way, the way He thinks is best, the way the Bible tells us to manage our lives. And it's really just a matter of who is in control. Who is the Lord of your life? Is it you? By the way, I wouldn't make a very good Lord, a very good God, okay? Now, the Mormons seem to think that one day, if you go through all their deals, you can become your own God. And you can have your own planet. That sounds like a bad idea. How many of you think that's a bad idea? I couldn't even run a city. Are you serious? Serious? I wouldn't want to live on your planet. You wouldn't want to live on my planet. We wouldn't have issues on my planet. There would be very few people living there. Okay? But who is the Lord of your life? Now, outwardly we say, He's my Lord. But really, who runs your life? How is your life run? That is what stewardship is all about. If we view it wrong, then our attitude about our life will be wrong. That's where we lose the joy. We see stewardship as a restrictive thing placed on our life to rob us of what we want and what we think is best. But that's not what stewardship is. Stewardship is allowing God to run your life because He knows what is best, and when we follow what He thinks is best, we will have joy. Amen. Christianity shouldn't be some joyless thing. Amen. Yep. I remember years ago I worked at a loading dock, and I was working up in the office, and there was another guy there that I met, and this guy always had a sour attitude, just really right to the point, kind of sour, kind of like people avoided him. One time I was up in the office, it was just him and I there, and he decided he was going to talk to me about his religion. And he asked me if I wanted a Book of Mormon. Now, I let him know I was a Christian. I talked to him for a little bit. But can I just tell you something? If I was an unsaved person working there and that guy asked me if I wanted a Book of Mormon, I would have said no, simply because if it made me as sour as he was, I didn't want any part of it. Remember when I was working in Bible college, I worked at Solo Cup, and I was working, there was a guy there named Roman, and I witnessed to him, and I kind of knew him a little bit and was trying to reach him, and we talked during the night, and there was another college guy, and this guy was a little different, good guy, a little different, never smiled, just kind of like, and I'm witnessing this guy one night, and it was like 3 or 4 in the morning, maybe he was tired. He goes, you know what, I'll give you one reason I don't want to become a Christian. And he pointed over at that guy, he goes, I don't want to become like that. Now, I talked to him. I said, look, he's a nice guy. That's just his personality. But what he was thinking is, if I become a Christian, I can't be happy anymore. I can't have joy anymore. When that is the farthest thing from the truth. Real joy comes from serving Jesus Christ. It's the most exciting thing you will ever be involved with. But we don't view it that way. We read some verses here, and we see that if we take these verses for what they're saying, and there's many more in the Bible, God wants us to have joy. By the way, I've been to churches of our type, where I think they don't want you to have joy. I'm like, man, if you're saved, it's good. Now, yes, there are some things in the Bible we need to deal with, but God wants us to deal with those things because those things would steal joy from us. God wants us to have joy. But if we don't find it God's way, we will never find it. I think we've read this here in church before. Many people have pursued joy, what they think will bring them joy in life, and when they've come to the end of their life, they've realized that is not where joy is to be found. The famous atheist Voltaire, he thought he could find joy in his atheist mindset, but yet when he was dying, he wrote, "I wish I had never been born." There's a man named Lord Byron, very wealthy, and his whole life was living for pleasure. When he was dying, he wrote, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." An American industrialist many, many years ago, Jay Gould, at that time probably the wealthiest man in the world, when he was dying, he wrote, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth. Even Alexander the great conqueror, he conquered the known world by the time he was 30. And after he conquered his last kingdom, he went to his tent and wept, "There are no more worlds to conquer. Where then is real joy found?" Died a couple years later as an alcoholic. You see, everybody wants joy. We just don't know where to find it. We look for it in the wrong places. God tells us he wants us to have joy. So this morning, as a steward, I want to let you know this. There are several areas of our stewardship that God wants us to be joyful. Now, it's kind of weird that God commands us to be joyful. You ever discipline your children? They're sitting there crying, and you're like, "Hey, stop it. Quit crying. Snap out of it. Be happy." Now, it's kind of hard to command them to be happy. They got tears. "Hey, stop crying, be happy." It's like, how do you stop crying and be happy? All right? But God tells us to have joy. It's a command. Now, if it's a command, that means we can have it if we follow it. So what are some of the areas where God wants us to have joyful stewardship? By the way, when it comes to stewardship, the question isn't, am I a steward of what God has given to me? Am I a steward of my life? That's never the question, because you are. You say, "Well, I don't see myself as one." Doesn't matter. You are. Okay? It's like a man that has children and doesn't want to be their father and is out of their life. "Well, I don't want to be a father." No, you are a father. That's been taken care of. The question is, what kind of steward are you? "Well, I'm just going to ignore it." Then you're a bad steward. You're not going to have the joy God wants you to have. So what are some of the areas where God says, let's have joyful stewardship? The first one is the Bible. Turn over to Psalms chapter 1. Again, how do we see our stewardship? If we don't see it correctly, then we have a wrong mindset about it, and we have a wrong attitude about it. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Verse 1. "Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." In our Bible, when we taught about the Bible on Thursday nights, we looked at these things. These are negatives, things we're not supposed to be involved with. Why? Because they take that joy away from us. God says you're happy if you don't get in these things. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Look at the promises. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now what about those that don't? The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind bloweth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, the Bible is something we delight in. You see, some of us, we follow our Bible reading schedule maybe, and it's like, "Oh, here, I got to pull it out today. I know I'm supposed to read it, and I got to get my three chapters in." And by the way, maybe there's parts of the Bible you do not understand too well. That's okay. But when you get in the Bible, it ought to be a delight. You ought to say, "Hey, this is my time to get into God's word. This is my time to learn God's word," and it ought to be delightful to us. But see, it's that whole mindset we have. If we see God as being restrictive, then we don't see the joy in the Bible. See, isn't that what Satan did to Eve? Hey, God's not holding out on you. See, because God knows that the day he told Eve, the day that you eat of the fruit, you'll be a God and you'll be able to decide what's right and wrong for yourself. What's he telling her? God doesn't know what's best for you. Did God really say those things? Nah, he's holding out on you. That's the lie, especially you younger ones, that's the lie you always follow. Well, if I'm on fire for God and I'm excited for God, it's going to take away my fun in life. No, it's going to open up the fun in life. It's going to open up the joy in life. Listen, you can do your own thing. And as Moses, as they said, there is pleasure, it says in Hebrews, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but there's always a payoff. And the payoff far outweighs that little season of joy or excitement that you had. The Bible is a delightful book. It's God's instruction manual. It tells us how we are to steward the things of the life that way God wants us to, so we can experience the joy that God wants us to have. When many years ago, we managed a property down on Broadway in Long Beach, and we had to go to an orientation, and they had this book for the property managers that we had to go through, and it had instructions on everything. This is how you're to show an apartment. They had a little list of politically correct things we could not say. We couldn't, if we were a block from the beach, and so if we had a third floor apartment, we couldn't say that it has a great view. Because if someone doesn't see very well, that would offend them. We couldn't say it had a walk-in closet. Because if a person can't walk, that might offend them. So we just realized, we just walked in and said, don't say anything. Say, those rules were ridiculous. And by the way, they were ridiculous. I'm pretty sure if I saw someone walking, I'd know that they could walk in. Okay? And, you know, all those things. But I didn't own the property. I wasn't the one that would get sued if something was said that offended somebody. So we had to follow their book. Now, God has a book we're to follow. His dictates make sense. And they're good for us. How do we look at the Bible? Do we see it as a burden? Do we see it as restrictive? Do we look at the Ten Commandments and say, ah, there you go, do's and don'ts, those aren't for my good? No, they are for our good. Thou shalt not. What is that all about? Things that would hurt us. Things that would take joy away from us. Thou shalt. Things that will help us. Things that will help us so we can continue to have the joy that God wants us to have. So how do you see the Bible today? You say, well, I don't really get into the Bible. You're missing out. And you're missing out on the very thing that is going to lead you into the path of joy. Everything you need to make it is found in God's Word. You say, then how come I'm not making it? Because you're not in there. I heard a story. There was a boy that went off to college. His parents gave him a Bible and said, hey, while you're at college, we want you to read your Bible. And so we got you a new Bible. We want you to take this with you and make sure you're reading it each and every day. So the kid took the Bible with him, wasn't real excited about it, but I'll take it. And so you know how kids are when they go to college. There's times they run out of money. And they would call home and say, hey, you know, mom and dad, I'm short a little bit of money. Do you have some money? He says, no, we can't send you any money. But you know what? There's a promise that God gave that'll help you. Read this verse. And they would give him a verse to read. Say, come on, just read. Okay, I'll read the verse. Thanks, bye. He did this 4 or 5 times throughout the semester. He came home for Christmas and had his Bible with him. And said, man, you know, it was a tough time. Says, son, you remember when you were struggling with finances? Did you ever read those verses that we told you to read? Because each time he would call, they'd say, no, we don't have money, but read this verse. He goes, no, I really didn't. He goes, well, let's try a couple of them. Said, turn to this verse. And he turned to the verse, and tucked inside of that verse was a $100 bill. Every verse they told him to read had a $100 bill between the pages. He didn't get it because he didn't go to the Bible. Now look, you're not going to buy a Bible in our bookstore that has a $100 bill in the pages. Now it'll have a bill for $100 in it, but not a $100 bill. Okay? Joy is found in God's Word, but if we don't get in it, we miss it out. So we ought to be joyful in our stewardship of the Bible. We ought to be joyful in the stewardship of God's salvation. Flip over to Luke chapter 15, please. Luke chapter 15. We'll begin reading in verse number 4. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 4. It says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he found it? Until you find it. He's given a parable. Guy's a shepherd. He has 100. He loses one. He's going to leave the 99 that are safe. He's going to go find that one. Okay? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. I have found my sheep which was lost. He would have lost some money there, but he found them. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. There's joy in heaven when someone turns to the Lord. He gives another illustration. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? You know, she lost one, so she decides, let's do some spring cleaning here. By the way, that's what you ought to do, husbands. Tell your wives you lost a $100 bill in the house, and then they'll clean the house for you. Okay? And then say, oh, you know what? It was in my wallet the whole time. I'm sorry. And when she had found it, she called her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. I think if heaven gets excited about salvation, we ought to get excited about salvation. Habakkuk 3:17 says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know what? If you're saved today, you have a lot to be thankful for. You see, what we think, and it's a misconcept that it ends at salvation. In other words, you know, we go out on Tuesday night and someone receives the Lord and like, wow, it was successful. That was great. Someone got saved. Or, wow, I got saved today. That's not the end. That's the beginning. That's not the end all. That's the starting place. Now you have that new life in Christ, and God wants to work in your life, and God wants to do something in your life. It's all because of the fact that Jesus Christ saved you. Say, I'm having a tough time in my life. I've got some problems. I'm a newer Christian. Hey, can I tell you something? If you're saved, you have God with you now. He'll help you to get through your situations. It may not be easy, but joy can be found because you are now saved. You say, but I'm saved, and I don't have that joy that God wants me to have. Let me give you a verse. Psalm chapter 51, verse 12. This is David writing during that time in which he had that affair with Bathsheba. And he was having all kinds of problems in his life. Look what David says. I'll read it to you. You can turn there if you want. Psalm 51, 12. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now, he didn't say, restore my salvation. Because, see, once you trust Christ as your Savior, you are saved forever. You don't lose it. But what do you lose when we sin? We lose that closeness and that relationship with God, and that's where the joy is found. And David said, I no longer have the joy of my salvation. Why? Because he had this sin that was burdening him, and it was on his heart, and he had to get rid of it before that joy would return. Listen, if you don't have joy today as a Christian serving God, pure righteous joy, it's usually God's symbol that something in your life is wrong. There's an area of your life you need to work on or you need to adjust. God doesn't want, well, you know, I'm saved and it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. That means it's not worth it all now? You know, when we get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Okay, but what about, that's great. We're all going to heaven someday, but I want to rejoice before then. Okay, I don't want to be miserable and then get into heaven and say, hey, that was 70 bad years, but it's good now. That's not God's way. God says it's good now. You say, it's not working for me. What area of your life do you need to adjust? It's God's way of saying, listen, follow me. Do the things I want you to do. I have joy for you. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, Satan, cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Yes, sir. That's what Jesus says. He says, I'm not just here to give you eternal life in heaven. Man, I want you to have the abundant life now. Amen. How's your salvation today? There are joy killers everywhere. Whenever we lose sight of the greatness of our God and the greatness of our salvation, that joy is going to start ebbing away. How does that tie into stewardship? Well, because when we were saved at salvation, we became his. 1 Corinthians tells us, for ye are bought with a price. bought with a price. He purchased our salvation by dying on the cross. Therefore, we are his. You know what? Life is too short to be miserable. Now, I know there are times and things go here or there. Well, that's fine. But man, serving God is great. And I admonish you, if you've never felt that, get in. Oh, but my friends over here say, forget what your friends say. If they're not on fire for God, you might want to just listen to God. Joy. Here's one. We need to have joy in our giving. So, oh, I knew you were going to get to that. It's just one point. Calm down. Okay? We're not going to fleece you. We're not going to send out the offering plates again. But they will be at the back door on the way out. Just kidding. Someone told me they were going to another church in town and said, man, we had to leave that church. He said, why? He goes, well, we'd take an offering before. He goes, and the pastor would get up and he'd get all fired up and say, that was good. Let's pass offering plates again. He said, do that 4 or 5 times during the message. Why don't we do it once? Every week. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's just a law of nature. If you're trying to grow something, if you throw a few seeds out, your chances for fruit are minimal. It's all based on the seed. The more seed you throw out, the more you sow, the more opportunity you have to see more fruit. For every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know why I give? I don't give. I do give because it is obedience to the Bible. I get that. But when I give, I'm not just giving in obedience to the Bible. I'm giving out of love for my Lord. And because of that, doesn't bother me. I don't know where I got it. I didn't grow up in church. I only went to church probably a handful of times before I got right with God after I got saved. And I went to church, and I had no Bible background. I knew nothing about the Bible. But for some reason, I knew that Christians were supposed to tithe. I don't know where I got that from. And so I just started doing that right away. And I'm glad I did. Yeah. I never sit there and write a check and say, man, I wish I had that money. Man, over the last few years, I'm not, take it for what it's worth. Over the last few years, I think this is our 9th year with our building, the money we've given to the building, we get our giving statement. Listen, if we would have kept all that money, we'd already have our house paid off. Big deal. It'll still get paid off. It's fine. We're not struggling. But I give for my Lord. Say, oh, it doesn't matter how you give. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. We'll take any old grouch. Well, most of our church is grouchy. But, listen, if we understand stewardship, I have no problem giving to God. And it's not just a, well, you know. And by the way, that's more than our money, too. Our time. Well, we go out on Tuesday nights. We've been going out this summer and going out and inviting people to church. That's time on a Tuesday night, and I know you work and so forth. Hey, give that time to God. Cheerfully. By the way, if you've not come out, I encourage you, be out this Tuesday. You will enjoy it. It's not what you think. If you've never done it, it is not what you think. You'd love it. I guarantee you, come out one time. Or maybe, well, you know, I work and I don't want to be here for church on Thursday night. Hey, come out on Thursday night. Give that time to God. Helping in the nursery, working around here, those of you over the years that have helped on the job site, that's investing. Do it cheerfully. We get to do this for my Lord. I don't do this for people. You don't see what our giving is. You don't see the hours we give or the things we do or this or that. But we give it because I love God. And I want to be joyful about it. I never want to get to the place where it's like, are you serious? I have to give this? I have to work in ministry. I have to do these things? I want to be able to give joyfully. Because I'm not doing it for you. And if you're in this church and you're doing it, you shouldn't do it for anybody else. You ought to do it for the Lord. That ought to be something between you and him. Say, Lord, you know who miserable people are? Those that hold on to everything they have. Miser. You ever heard the word miser? You hear the word miserable? Miser, miserable, it's a form of the word. And some people are just, they have everything everybody in the world would want, but they're miserable. because they hold on to it so tightly. You know what a lot of these billionaires are finding out as they get older in their life? They start giving to causes. Because they realize that, now not all of them, some of them are just as tight as a drum. But they realize that everything they live for, it's worthless. What's going to happen? Now, they give away $1 billion and they still got 15 in the bank. So it's like, come on, you can still give away a lot more. They're trying to get outside of themselves. The best investment you'll ever make is in God's kingdom. It's in reaching people for Christ. But giving. We don't want to be misers. Number four, we'll hurry. We have just a couple left. True obedience. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now listen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. What is he saying there? You know what Jesus' obedience was? To come to this earth and to go to the cross and die for our sins. And he considered that joy. Joy. We think if we obey God that, that's going to suck all of the joy out of my life. And as we mentioned, we won't belabor the point, we mentioned it earlier. That's where joy is found. Right. See, we try to hold on to our life. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Where is our life found? When we abandon it to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't hang on to it for ourselves. You see, everything you're looking for can be found in simple obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it can be found. We think it's found in finances. We think it's found in that right job, that right girl, that right guy, that right this. That's where my joy is found. If joy is found in those things, then those things will become gods in your life. Those are all peripheral. Joy is found in serving God and the Lord Jesus Christ and being obedient to him, and all that other stuff is byproduct that comes as a result of that. Let me give you one more thing. We ought to be joyful in our stewardship. Your church. Your church. Psalms chapter 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Man, some people, they get drugged to church. You ever hear that? You know, I was a drug addict when I was a kid. My parents drugged me to church every service. Okay? By the way, children don't have an option. Sometimes I would joke around when our kids were real little and say, hey, you know, they wake up. And when you wake up, you don't want to do anything. They get up and they're all groggy. You want to go to church today? No. Good. You're going anyhow. Okay? By the way, when my alarm goes off, I don't want to go to church. I don't go anywhere. I'll go back to bed. But he said, I was glad when they said unto me, hey, church should be a joyous occasion. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking the bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added unto the church daily such as would be saved. Because people in the early church, they were excited about being together. See, we need to get to the point where church isn't just a convenience, it becomes a conviction. God wants us to be the church. You can read through the Bible, it's all over the place. And so when we realize that, then what we say is, I'm going to be at church. If grandma calls and says, little Bobby's having a birthday party, we'll go to the birthday party after church, but not during church. Okay? It's conviction. That was the first thing I learned as a new Christian. Hey, I want to serve God. What do I do? I didn't know what to do, so I said, here's what I'll do. It's the only thing I know to do. I'm just going to go to all the services. I'll go to Sunday school. I'll go to Sunday morning. I'll go to Sunday night, and their service was Wednesday night. I'll go on Wednesday night. And that's what I did, and I'm glad I did. Well, we're on vacation. We go to church, okay? Very interesting. There was one day where we had a president who was not our president. In On March, James Polk, a former president, had lost the election. His last day as president was March 3rd, 1949. Zachary Taylor, who had won, was set to become the president on March 4th. But March 4th was a Sunday. So Zachary Taylor said, I go to church on Sundays. And he said, I will not be sworn in as president until March 5th, Monday. So March 3rd, James Polk was his last day as president. On March 5th, Zachary Taylor was sworn in as president. So on that one day, Sunday, a U.S. senator named David Akinson was acting president. Because we had a president at that time that had enough gumption to say, I go to church on Sundays. Yeah. And yet we have Christians that won't do it. And by the way, there's always reasons to miss. But let's make sure that, hey, church, it's good to be with God's people. Yes. By the way, if you don't go to Sunday school, come early and go to your Sunday school class and spend some time with folks. Enjoy church. Because yes. That's what God wants. What is the whole point today? We said a lot. Stewardship is about joy. God wants us to have joy. And it's found in doing the things that God wants us to do. And it all goes back to the choice we had earlier. Am I going to do things my way, or am I going to do things God's way? I have found in my life that when I do things God's way, that's where the joy is. When I don't do things God's way, that's where joy is not found. So I encourage you, take stewardship seriously, let God run your life, and experience the joy that God has for you. Let's all bow our heads together this morning.